know who's here and whatnot. All right, appreciate everybody being here. This is a special meeting for the Brooklyn Special Service District. Today is December 16th, 6 p.m. Meeting in the Elsinore Town Hall. I'm Brent White. Debbie Barney is here, and Valerie Hopper, the Elsinore Mayor, Ralph Brown, County Commissioner, Malcolm Nash, Mr. Do-It-All.
Yes.
Matt Diring, the Board Member, Cody Hansen, Board Member, Tyler Monroe, Board Member, Scott Hansen, the Service Specialist for both Elsinore and the Special Service District, and Parker from Jones and Mill.
Versatile Mac.
There you go. All right, so we'll go ahead and begin our meeting. We need to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Have those minutes and those things you send out to us. They have two different ones, and they both say December 5th.
Not sure how that happened.
And the one says approving the board minutes of November 25th.
Yeah, there was a board meeting on the 25th, and there was the next board meeting was December the 2nd.
Yeah.
To approve the contracts. Probably.
Anyway, I had a hard time following those. The one says, says public hearing for the FY 2025 budget, and then adopt that, and that was our last meeting, right? For the 2025.
Yeah, it was. You accepted the tentative budget on November 25th.
And then review and accept the tentative budget for 2026. So that's talking about what we're doing tonight. So. Does that agree with what you said? I guess everybody got the minutes. Did you review the minutes? It still has the beeline thing all screwed up.
I seen that in there. And then, like this one here says meeting on 12-2-5, 35.
Yeah, 135.
Okay, I'll correct this.
That's just, yeah.
Just the date.
AI.
Yeah. What it did was. No. On the B line, it says, corrected it from B, letter B, to B line.
B-E-E.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, and then everything is B-E, B.
We're making a B line for the end.
I think we all understand what it means.
I know.
Good save, Parker, thank you.
I'm not sure it makes a difference, and I don't care, but like on the motion to accept, it has Cody making that motion, which is not accurate.
What page?
On the
page 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, oh, yeah. 5,
6. I see. We're accepting the
HMH, right?
Yeah. I made the motion and Cody seconded it.
Right.
Which doesn't probably matter, but just.
It's good to be accurate. While we're there, let's make it correct.
Other than that, everything looked pretty straightforward.
There's one other thing down that page from that that I don't remember what it was now.
So I just got a question on the second to last page under growth and residency. Says there's a suggestion to require resumes and letters of recommendation to new residents. I'm assuming that was a little out of context.
Yeah, I read, I actually, now that you say that, we don't.
Not a bad idea.
No, we talked about that, as jokingly.
I don't think you can legally do something.
I'm trying to think what we were talking about for this.
Well, I think somebody suggested.
We did, we were talking about it at the end.
So somebody did say that.
Yeah, we did say that, and you never like.
And for what you say, it's recorded.
Where they were coming in.
Yeah, just Mayor Hopper said.
I did.
Yeah, I did you.
Okay.
It's okay, what do they do?
We'll go through and do that.
There's one.
I thought it was a good idea.
That is pretty crazy what he acting.
So you've got those two changes. There's one other change here.
How about if I make a motion that we accept the minutes with the corrections? That we approve the minutes with corrections.
I will second the approved minutes with corrections.
Sounds good to me. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, it passed. There was one other thing that was a little goofy on the minutes. Okay, well, it wasn't that big of a deal. So our main thing today is to receive input on the proposed budget for fiscal year 2026. Anybody have any input?
Let me throw this out, and I thought I had made the correction, but I missed it. So, excuse me there. One more if anybody needs. So on the budget, and then we'll hold the public hearing, the revenue total should be $4,840,000. I didn't do it, the computer did, but somehow I got the formula, got it wrong, but the revenue should be $4,840,000. And then instead of the 4.9, it should be 4.8. And then on the bottom half, on the expense side, I dropped the system improvement line item from $3,500,000 to $3,400,000 so that the total expenses is
$4,800,000.
So it matches, yeah. I think someone caught that last week, and I forgot to make the change to the document. So other than that, so board, normally what you do is state law requires that a public hearing be held anytime a budget is adopted or amended. And so this meeting has been noticed with a public hearing. And so normally what you do is the board chair formally announces we are now in a public hearing. And to receive public input on the budget. If there's nobody here, you just make a verbal note that no one is here from the public, but anybody is, of course, available to comment if they'd like.
I said all of that. Does that sound good? What he just said,
no.
I said.
Okay. Open to public, nobody's here.
Close. So there's no public here. Do any of you have any questions or any comments? If not, then we can ask for a motion.
Close the public hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we close the public hearing. It's now closed. And then we ask for the
comments of the board members and a motion to approve the budget.
I make a motion to approve the budget.
Wait a second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
I mean, obviously, this is very much up in the air. We're not wagging, but we're swagging.
That's exactly it.
We'll have to do some tweaking, but to start.
Yeah, it authorizes the board to spend money now.
Okay. So when are we going to switch it from the county to our account?
The remaining money? Or
well, when
January 1.
January 1.
Yep. January 1, you can start writing checks and receive money and those types of things.
Check is in the mail.
All right.
Yeah.
So we've adopted the budget, so we're down to number 4, construction update.
Okay. Things are going great. They've started on 1150 South today in the addition, so we've got 1150, and then once we're done with that, then we'll come to the north end and turn across 2200. They've started installing a handful of fire hydrants. I don't think they've started any services right now. I think they're still working on some parts at the beginning of January. But in general, they're doing great. We've been pretty hard on them on getting getting the BABLA and AIS certifications for all their products. It's kind of one of those deals, if you don't get audited, it's not a big deal and nobody will ever think twice about it. But Matt Mullins from the EPA is cautioning us that they're due for an audit, so we're trying to go above and, well, not necessarily above and beyond, but we're trying to do the right thing and get all the right documentation on the front end of the project. So if we do get an audit on the back end, it'll make everybody's lives way easier. So Silver Spur's been good to work with on that, and their suppliers are good on that as well. So that's really the big stuff on A line. B line, we are doing a pre-construction meeting tomorrow at 10 at the Jones Mill office. If anybody's around wants to go to that, it'll be focused primarily on the contract language, liquidated damages, responsibilities of the contractor, things of that nature. We may get into a handful of project-related elements as far as, you know, what's their plan to bore the road and a few things like that. But tomorrow's meeting will be more focused on primarily focused on the contractual side of things. They do plan to start the first week of January, so I guess it'd be the 5th of January, so we should be here. I do believe they've got some equipment there starting to move this direction. We were scheduled last week to meet up with them and show them some places where they could stockpile equipment and materials, and that kind of fell through. But anyways, in the next week or 10 days, equipment should start showing up with some materials too, so that on the 5th we can go to work.
So where are you going to stockpile it?
So the county's got parcels in the addition, and then Elsinore's been really great to let us into they've got a yard here on South Center Street. So those are our two locations that we'll offer to them. If they need anything beyond that, then they'll be on there. Like if they want to talk to Hales, we do have those easements. Like we've got the easement through Hales, that could be an option. We've got the easement down towards Sierra Vista that cuts through the Parsons parcel. So we have a few of those areas that could be accessible as well. We'd have free rein to jump into there and have a 35-foot window where we can get them off the road and park an excavator for a few weeks.
That one lot right across the street from Hales's Gate, they don't have any of their equipment parked on there now, do they, Hales?
I don't think so.
South side of the road, you mean?
Just across, yeah. I don't think they're
going to have any junk on there.
Yeah, we've got the easements from Hales now, so we can, within that 30 feet from the fence, we should be okay.
Just line it up.
Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I guess Malcolm, we've been working on getting the reimbursement stuff processed. First one's always the hardest. And
in this case, the first two were the hardest.
First two, yeah, we pushed them through about the same time.
So what we did, just so you're aware, is Silver Spur had submitted two payment requests. And Parker and Coy pushed them on the documents, got them submitted Friday, and which included having copies of checks from the county so that the EPA knows that we've got things in place to pay them. And then the folks from Silver Spur said, listen, we're sitting $550,000. We're floating $550,000 because we haven't been paid yet. And they've been buying materials and paying laborers and so forth. And she said, and then Bailey, their office manager, said, in addition to that, we're getting ready for the next one, which is $400,000. So they're pushing $1 million that they're floating. And I said, that's not fair. It's too long. When the EPA guy says, listen, we're not going to be able to get a check to you until the 1st of January. And so talking to Steve, and he said, yeah, we're good to go. So we've got the request into the EPA, and we'll get that money back. The county will get that money back. So today we gave Silver Spur the first two checks.
From the county?
From the county.
You'll just reimburse yourself.
Yeah, so we get reimbursed when that takes place so that they're not just hanging out there. It's just too long.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And so they were very appreciative.
They're happy.
They were very appreciative in that phone call, and they sent a guy down, picked him up. And so
we're kind of getting in territory where they've been moving really efficiently on the project. But I think they were kind of getting into territory where they were overextended to the point where they would potentially have to pull off even and kind of stand on their ground and wait for payment. So it all worked out great. Appreciate Malcolm doing all that legwork.
So why did it take so long other than it's the first one?
It's federal.
Yeah, what part of federal government don't you understand?
The craziest thing that we learned, I think, in this process, so Steve Wall is shown as the project owner for the county. So he's the top of the food chain. And you would think as the top of the food chain, he could submit a payment reimbursement request. So we got in one day, well, it was 2 weeks ago, we all saddled up and met and we were gonna push it through, and Steve Wall did not have the credentials to do the reimbursement request. So that took us a few days.
For the county.
Yeah.
The EPA.
So we pulled up the EPA's portal to do the reimbursement request on, but on his account, he couldn't do the request. So we got all that figured out and did the request, and then we got a phone call from the EPA of, oh, you can't do it that way. You got to send us all the paper documents first. We'll review them, then we'll approve them, then you send it in, and then we'll approve them again.
So, well, why didn't they say that in the first place? That's the part I don't understand.
Don't try to understand.
And next time it'll be just the backwards.
It'll be the opposite.
Anyways. No rhyme or reason.
Anyway, so they're good.
Squared there, we'll get everything taken care of.
So who is it that gets the request if it's not Steve?
We have a project accountant assigned to this one through Jones and the Mill that's working with the county to do that. So
sounds like a pain in the butt.
Before we move off this subject, then, just so you guys know, they did put in requests for blue stakes on 1400 South today, 1400 South and then East Side, and there we're trying to figure out if Lincoln had any information on that line going down 1150 South, clear out to 8th East, 9th East.
Yeah.
So now I have another question. Does anybody, this is mostly for you, I guess, Brent, do you know where the house that's outside of the addition, southeast corner, do you know where that line is? Okay, so we can put some paint on the ground?
Comes off the corner of the addition.
Yeah, the meter's just right across the road.
Yeah.
We had shut it off on a long time.
Yeah, the meter's across the road.
But it comes right there by that canal and crosses
over. Okay, so it's right on the east side of the addition. And so the line that goes down to the middle of the block goes all the way to the end. And then it turns and goes south and across there.
He'll meet and show you.
Yeah. Yeah, because...
it's not that simple.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get together here in a few days when you can, and they won't be digging there until next week.
So are they digging on the north side of 1400 south, or down the middle, or on the south side, or what?
I don't remember. It seems like Well, we're going to dig on the north, but I don't know if it can change.
As far as I know, it's not, but on the north side?
It's on the south side? There's more room on the south side, but then you got to go under the road for every single meter.
Yeah, I think water lines on the south side.
Okay.
So they got a mislabeled house underneath them. Huh?
Yeah, there's not a water line on 14 now. What's that, Al?
They'll have to missile under the road for every hookup.
Yeah.
There is an old water line on that side.
Oh, is there?
Probably just that way. It's all the way to that house.
Is it?
But it's abandoned.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it active, but it's abandoned. Okay, so we'll get together, and then Lincoln was going to get a hold of me. Have you heard anything from him?
Lyndon?
Lyndon, yeah, I'm sorry.
So Lyndon and I talked. I pulled up the as-bills. There is no notes, no record, no nothing with the water line.
So I'll paint with you and I.
Outside of the contract.
I'll paint on, now we're jumping to 1150 heading east. I'll paint where you and I walked the other day, Brad.
You may need to be the Jones and the Durden before that.
It wasn't in the contract, so they didn't put it on the as-bills. So
they just found it.
I'll paint when you told me, and then I'll just meet with them out there, and I'll let them know, hey, this is where we think it is, but you got to do some pothole on it. You got to do some exploration or something to find it.
I think if they find on the west side, you know, the west end there, it just follows those telephone poles all the way down.
Okay.
So I think it's about 6.
Or just let them hit it, and then we'll fix it when they hit it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So just jumping back real quick to the 1400 conversation. If the two will turn back on.
It's green.
It's green. Mm-hmm. Wake it up. There we go. So our GIS drawing showed it coming straight east and then coming out. Is that what you remember, Brent, or would it be different than that?
No, it's not that. See the middle of that lot where it says meter? Yeah, up there. Somewhere in the middle, it kind of kitty-cornered over to the corner of the canal, and then it crossed right there. Yeah,
so it hits the west corner, and it comes across.
Make it angles again.
Okay. I'm just going to throw a quick note on
that. It doesn't go out with the... Because when they did that line, when they redid that line out there 10 years ago, they hit
find that
and they poured out. We had to go down there and help them put it back in.
So scroll up that, move your mouse that way. Can you slide that down? Or is that just they go clear up to Brooklyn? Is that Brooklyn, that red line, Brooklyn?
No, that's 4th East, so okay. Brooklyn's.
So they're going to take it on the south side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's a lot of punching.
That's a lot of board.
I don't think there's room to put it on the north. The other advantage of being on the south
future
is on one day there'll be houses over here and you're going to be punching it back the other direction. So
there's a dairy farm over there.
We only hope there's not too many houses out there. Let's get all that built out.
Yeah.
And then we'll worry about the others.
Well, so it cuts across somewhere there and then.
Something like that and across.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll put some paint down.
I'll put some paint down like that,
and I'll just tell them we're not sure where it is, but here's our best guess. Okay. All right. Thank you for answering that question.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on the construction?
Tell them to lock all their crap, that's what I'd say.
That sounds like...
I already got stuff missing off my lock.
Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah, I had to put cameras up.
What kind of things are missing?
Plate compactor was stolen.
Wow.
That's not a light piece of equipment.
No, it's not a cheap one either.
Rat lost some stuff, didn't he?
Those rats, yeah. I found the ladder, but couldn't find the compactor.
Where's the ladder?
That's crazy.
One of his buddies took that. I'm like, well, which buddy had the compact? And he's like, I called on. It was just kind of over off by the dumpster on the pallet. And when I was putting up cameras, he's like, you gotta go see if that compact is over there. And I'm like, no, it's not. You're kidding. No, I'm not. It's not there. So, yeah, just tell them to keep their stuff. People suck, I'll just say that.
Okay. So that's through five.
Anything you need to approve on
about the ADA on page 3 of 5.
What's the next item on the agenda?
Well, it's just after the agenda over the next page.
I wonder if...
So the ADA thing's just...
Did you have that digitally? Consider and approve contract documents for the Beeline phase.
Oh, yeah.
Is it chalk table?
Yeah.
The complete progress assessment for 2025. So
okay. Listen. I'm going to hand one of these to each of the board members.
Did you take your training yet?
No.
Oh.
You got it done?
You bet I did.
Good for you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that's one.
One for
it's a real good listen.
Is that?
Oh, yeah. Put it on before that, or?
Nope.
That was. Was it interesting? There.
Did you do it while I'm driving, or while I'm home?
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're doing something else.
The first one I'm going to send you to is this one right here. That sheet. It's one with the points. And this is something.
Did you say you sent us this?
Yeah, we had this.
Yeah, I think I can.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so I think Annette last week. What we're going to do is real quick is we're going to use this as kind of a training opportunity as well. This is something every special service district, every entity, the county does this every year. Every city has to do this every year and so forth. This is to find out where the risks are in this district for fraud. Okay. So it's a chance to, again, train and make the board members aware. This is where opportunities lie for...
A little self-reflection.
Yes.
You see that stuff on the news that somebody's borrowed $400,000 in the last 10 years?
Here in Utah?
Yeah, hear stuff like that.
Yep, exactly. I meant to pay it back. Yeah. So we're just going to run through this quickly. It won't take long. Does the entity have an adequate basic separation of duties or mitigating controls as outlined in the basic separation of duties questionnaire? And we'll get to that in a second. There are... let's see... Let's go back, if you would indulge me for just a second. Go to the next sheet. Go to this one right here. We're going to answer this one first.
Basic separation?
Yep, basic separation of duties. So we're going to go through these and check yes, no, or MC stands for mitigating controls. Does the entity have a board chair, clerk, and treasurer, who are three separate people? And I think you've done that. All right, members.
So who's the clerk?
I think I am.
Yeah, I think Matt's the clerk.
Good job.
Which one of you did we turn into the
who's the treasurer?
Or were you the treasurer? No, you're the clerk.
Is Debbie the secretary? What's Debbie?
I thought she was the treasurer.
I thought she was too. I thought treasurer.
Yeah, I thought she was. She's going to be one of the check signers.
Well, right? Yeah, but she won't be. She's not a board member.
Right.
So these have to be board members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we need as a treasurer, I think. Who wasn't here that got assigned?
I think I remember that. Movie.
I think I don't want to be the treasurer. So if there's something up for grabs, I'll take the clerk. Because we got AI.
Debbie can take care of those items.
Debbie's the one that will take care of the treasury.
It's not a big deal.
Okay.
Right, you have to perform the audit.
All right. Are the people who are able to receive cash or check payments different from the people who are able to make general ledger entries? In this case, the answer is no, because the district is so small. But what we have is we'll mark the box mitigating controls because the Because every month, someone independent of the person who receives checks and the person who makes entries, someone else will review the financial statements of the district. So that one's mitigating controls.
Oh, it's mitigating controls.
Yeah, it's the MC. It's the third column.
Okay.
Item three, are the people who are able to collect cash or check payments different from all the people who are able to adjust customer accounts? Again, the answer is no, but we'll check the box mitigating controls because someone else will be checking that to make sure it's done properly.
It's not just one person.
Not just one person. The key is a different set of eyes. That's what makes it work. Four, are the people who have access to the blank checks different from those who are authorized signers? The answer will be no, but we have mitigating controls because each check will require two signatures. Yep. And again, all those checks will be viewed by somebody else to make sure the signatures are there. So five, does someone other than the clerk or treasurer reconcile all bank accounts or are original bank statements reviewed by a person other than the clerk to detect unauthorized disbursements? The answer to that one will be yes, because you will pick somebody, you will find somebody to look at your bank statements every month.
So can Debbie do that?
No. Someone besides Debbie.
I would say we want like an independent.
See, and a treasurer can do that. The clerk, a board member can do it.
Why wouldn't we just have someone keeping our books, like an account?
Because like, then you have to
pay them.
Pay them.
Yes.
I'm aware. We don't have to pay Debbie.
Debbie does. You look over it. Great.
So what we do at the county with one of the districts that I manage.
At least an annual audit from an off. Like,
we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a second. But, all right, six, does someone other than the clerk review periodic reports of all general ledger accounts to identify unauthorized payments recorded in those accounts? The answer will be yes. Someone else will do that. Seven, are the original credit purchase card statements received directly from the card company by someone other than the card holder? The question is, will you have a credit card or a purchase card in the district? If you don't, then this is not applicable. If you do, then it's a mitigating control in that somebody else looks at the statements and makes sure that any expenditures are appropriate.
We're going to put not applicable today because
you don't have one.
Get big and booming, maybe.
Right. Item eight, does someone other than the credit purchase card holder ensure that all card purchases are supported with receipts? So again, it's not applicable because you don't have a card, but if you get one, then someone else, again, needs to review and make sure all receipts are attached to the statement to validate the purchase. Item nine, does someone who is not a subordinate of the credit purchase card holder review all card purchases for appropriateness? The answer will be yes, because you'll have someone independent of the credit card holder. Still not applicable because there's no card today. Does the person who authorizes payment for goods or services who is not the clerk verify the receipts of goods or services? Yes. And again, the person on that one will be yes. Again, this is where the treasurer or the board chair can make sure that what you've paid for is actually received. And we do this in the county. We make a department head or a supervisor sign something, say, yeah, we did get that copy paper in the county. 11, does someone authorize payroll payments who is separate from the person who prepares payroll payments? Today, that's not applicable, but next year, if you start paying someone for services, you'll need to make that yes. And finally, does someone who review all payroll payments who is separate from the person who prepares payroll payments? Right now, again, that's not applicable, since you don't have anything yet. So now we'll go back to the first sheet, and that will help answer this question. Does the entity have adequate basic separation duties or mitigating controls as outlined in the separation of duties questionnaire? So the answer is yes. Because you've gone through that exercise, you can say you've done that. Okay, item two is, do you have policies on these items? The answer is yes on all of these because last month you approved the policies on these ones. So we're going to do a quick check of all of those. Item three, does the entity have a licensed or certified CPA, yada, 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 as a part of its management team? Right now, you do not, so you don't get to check that box.
Do you have a county or something?
Well, we actually did. I have accounting, but it's my degree is not in accounting.
We did get Kay Monroe to help us with some of that stuff early on, so.
Yeah.
And he has agreed to do whatever we
Yeah, need. You know, so Kay might be a good person to, you know, review the statements every month, something like that. Do any members of the management team have at least a bachelor's degree in accounting? None there. Okay, so we'll leave that blank. Are employees and elected officials required to annually commit in writing to abide by a statement of ethical behavior? Let's see, we did do a disclosure statement.
We did. I don't know if we signed, but we did.
We did do a disclosure. Statement of ethical behavior. On that, we probably have to, no, because we don't have an actual statement, so we'll get that taken care of for January. Have all governing body members completed entity-specific training, online training. So this is where that training comes into place. So have all governing board members completed it? So I think the answer is no on that one because you all haven't finished it yet. So what we're going to do is push you to do that. How long did it take you to do that?
I want to say a little over an hour and a half, something like that.
Okay, all right.
I just go to that website and get accurate.
Yeah, so... Well, mark no for now, but for next year, that needs to be a checkbox.
And we have to do it for every year, don't we?
Yeah, some things you do, some you don't, but I think the state tightened it up where you have to do it every year now. That's the advantage of going to the annual conference is you get it done right then. Let's see. Just do it, take care of it in January. We'll take care of it then.
Again?
He already did his.
Yeah, he's good. You're good. You have to do it once a year.
I'll do it next December.
Yeah.
Do my January.
Yeah, you have to do it next year, but you can do it in December next year. let's see, item six. Does at least one member of the management team receive at least 40 hours of formal training? Again, there's a no there. Does the entity ever promote a fraud hotline? You don't, but you could. There is a website that was built for the project, and so the district may want to talk to Jones and DeMille about taking that over or having it transferred or something like that, so you could put a hotline, but today you don't.
So what do you use that for? I want to know what you use the hotline for.
Well, somebody called and anonymously say, Brent White's taking
Brent's driving a new Escalade, and something's up.
I mean, I would think, wouldn't there be a state deal that we could tie into somehow?
Yeah, state auditor's office.
They could call the state and report it through that. I mean,
yeah, you would just need to communicate to your district members, your meter holders, whatever, that, hey, this. If you see something or have a question, here's the number you call.
Would it be, or should it be the county?
I'd probably use the county.
I mean, technically, the special service district is a subsidiary of the county.
It's on itself, but you're under the umbrella of.
And
the
so,
county.
In my mind, there needs to be separation. I don't know.
No, I don't see any problem with doing that.
No, I think you'd report to the county.
Yeah, I think you could do that. Does the entity have a formal internal audit function? Right now, you don't. And then, does the county have a formal audit committee? Right now, you don't. Now, on the audit, because it's in a normal year, they'll probably fall into the $750,000 or less category. You fall in the higher category, don't you? The city does.
Do you
have a formal audit done every year?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so.
Well, no. Yes, we have the past few years because we just...
Yeah,
it depends on how much.
Yeah, depending on how much revenue the entity receives determines what kind of audit gets done. For this coming year, because of the dollar amount of the project, you'll have a formal audit done.
And we welcome that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's protecting you.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It saves you is what it does.
Yes. And then they tell you everything you've done wrong.
Yeah, which is
rather
which is what it's for.
Informal meeting.
Full transparency.
And they'll give you a book.
So for this year, an audit's not required because the district hasn't spent any money. It's just, but next year it'll have to be done on that one. So what we'll do is we'll add up all these points. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many fives are there? Is there nine there? Yeah, so it's 45, 245.
So we have high risk.
Yeah, so when you look at so your total points are in just 245, and you're in high category of risk. So again, this is done every year, and it's to make the board aware. Say, hey, this is where our weaknesses are. And so next year, the score will be different because some things will have been done, you know, the training and some things like that.
We could get it to moderate pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, at the county, we don't have a CPA on the management team. You know, Steve has a bachelor's degree in accounting. So we get points for that. But in terms of a CPA, we don't have someone on staff type of thing.
We do a big firm holiday.
Yeah, but, yeah, big. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I see the training, that's easy, 20 points. The figuring out the fraud hotline, I think could be easy. That's 40 points. That puts you in the moderate category pretty quickly.
So what we'll do is we'll have Brent sign this as the CAO name and signature, and the CFO and the CFO signature. I'll probably just go ahead and sign that because I've been the one kind of quote unquote managing the money so far this year or whatever. But we can have it completed. The state auditor likes to know that the board has had this experience, had this review. That's it for that item. What's next?
Scheduled for
2026. We need to publish every year in the various locations what your meeting schedule is next year. So if you would like to keep the, what are we doing, the second Tuesday every month? Was that it? Or third?
Third
Tuesday.
Okay.
Good, we just changed ours to the second. We just changed our council meetings to the second Tuesday.
Thursdays
right?
To Tuesdays.
Okay, I need to update. I'm glad you said that.
Is still the best?
The only crappy thing, if it's every third, I'd close. I won't make it.
So let's have it when he can make it.
How about every third Wednesday?
If you move it to Thursdays, then you could take the second Thursday.
Wednesday's fire meeting.
I would prefer not to have Wednesday as well.
But if you went Thursdays, then Elsinore Town could have Tuesdays, and then Brooklyn Top Line could have Thursdays.
Because our planning and zoning meets on the third.
Third Thursday.
Third Thursday. And they're thinking about changing theirs to a Tuesday also. So
Thursday work for everybody?
That might be better for everybody, it sounds like.
If it's the third Thursday, correct? The second and fourth search and rescue, I don't think.
Yeah, that's the reason we had to change ours, because we have somebody on search and rescue. Yeah,
if it's second, or if it's third Thursday of the month, I'd be...
What do we have to do to persuade your P&Z to move off of the third Thursday so they can take it?
I don't know, because I really think they're leaning towards the...
Tuesday.
Yeah. You know, and you can change it any time. It's just that you just...
And you know, it really doesn't matter, because you can have this room right here. Just close the curtain. Yeah. It's okay, because they always be over there.
So, should we do third Thursday then?
We can do third Thursday.
And we got the historic building up there. That we
could all... Yeah, you can always meet it. They're like,
oh. Okay, third Thursday.
Here.
Six. Here.
I'll go with you.
Yep.
Matthew?
Yes.
Malcolm sends out the invite. I'm all good.
Debbie's going to start doing that.
Oh, awesome. Sweet. Debbie? I like it.
And then have you gotten authorized on Utah Public Notice website to start posting?
Six.
Okay, we need to follow up on that one. Then. I'll contact them and see if they can.
I've been talking to Barbara.
Yeah.
I've talked to her several times about it.
Okay, I'll
work on it.
Visit her for a minute.
I was actually waiting for an email on her, and I haven't gotten it.
Okay. All right. I'll visit with her tomorrow on that. Okay.
So he'll take care of the noticing and meetings?
Publish the notices. Okay. You become a more of an independent body that way and don't have to rely on me as much.
Are you going to schedule
CIB, we'll start...
You help to schedule your
we'll start CIB payments a month from now, roughly.
Yeah.
5-6 weeks, we'll hit the first one.
Yeah, first of February, we'll have our first reimbursement.
Okay, and there's some documentation I need to get to Heather that I'm almost done with, showing that the county's money's been spent. So that's almost done. They won't issue money until they can be satisfied the county has spent its
right.
money.
And they're pretty tight on that.
Yeah, she made that pretty clear. Which is fine, that's part of the deal.
And we probably need to, now that we've got bids open on Beeline and a project underway, we probably need to visit with Tyler Timmons on strategy. We're probably going to have quite a bit of money.
Oh, that's right.
To reallocate the money.
Yeah,
we need to go expand our scope a little bit, get serious about buying some ground, building a building, have a maintenance shop, some of that.
Okay.
So if we could put that as an action item in January for our meeting there to review some of that, but we'll probably need to...
which meeting? County or CIB?
Brooklyn SSD.
This board meeting.
We probably should finalize that discussion there, but I'm guessing we'll have to have the information to CIB prior to that. At least preliminary information over to him before that.
Okay, does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
So just to make sure I understand what you're saying is it's in our interest or to have some type of a building to have a centralized location to store materials, to store
meters.
Stuff, meters and pipe, extra pipe and stuff like that for future.
Yep. You also need somewhere to do your meter reading locations.
As the radar thing.
Put a pole and an antenna on to if there's a central location for all the meters.
We can work around not having a physical location by putting it on a pole and just having an easement for the pole. And it's not ideal, but we can get around not having a physical location owned by the district.
How much money are we talking about?
To do what?
The surplus.
We're
going to have to figure out and ask for a
couple million. From CIB.
So, I mean, we had estimated that the B-line, which we pulled some of that off, we're going to do now with A-line money. So all the stuff going in front of Hales and Hollies was supposed to be CIB funded. But we have $1 million extra on the A-line side. EPA was really good with that. We don't actually have to change our scope of work with EPA. They're going to let us do that work.
Use that money there.
So we've already got $1 million off the top that we were planning on using CIB money for that we're not going to. And then the rest of the B-line came in at $1.1 million when we'd estimated $1.75. So, I mean, it could be $1.5 million, but somewhere, I mean, I don't have firm numbers, but it's between $1 million and $1.5 million potentially.
What is the cost going to be to redo the roads in the addition?
$300,000.
Okay.
It's in the budget already.
It's awarded. The $300,000 is awarded. I don't have my full budget updated by tonight. But I will get that, and we can get some of that information passed down first of the year or something.
So we would be talking about, I mean, just if I heard you say that you may have to go to CIB to adjust that scope.
You will have to.
Yes. Yeah, so
prior to us meeting in January. Is that accurate?
Well, so the CIB meeting will be in February.
Okay.
But they'll have to have that information
prior to
February.
It.
So January
is okay to have that discussion.
Well, no, because you're going to be the third Thursday, and we have to have it to us probably 2 weeks before. So
I don't need to be thinking about that right now. I heard, property, a building,
which
we're talking about equipment.
So we need to kind of get a lot of this on the table. So maybe we do need a meeting
maybe
early January where we can have budget, numbers, start prioritizing what's going to be, what do we want to try to do. That could all be stuff that needs to be discussed in early January.
I mean, I see this all the time in my line of work where we wait till the last minute and have to spend $2 million and we make a dumb decision because we're not prepared. So I would prefer that we meet and have like you described, a prioritized list of the items that we believe are, you know, priority, property, building, go down the list.
Pick a date. Let's set a date.
Well, should we? We've run into this several times by having our meeting the third week. Should we be having our meeting the first week of the month?
Thursdays are open. First and second are better here.
So we've changed our January meeting from the 8th, even though it's not changed on the calendar yet, to the 6th, Tuesday the 6th, correct? It's yeah. Still showing.
Okay, yeah. That we're good.
That's just details.
Wasn't it Tuesday the 13th?
Oh, no, we changed it to the 13th because that's the second Thursday.
The second Tuesday is the 13th.
So town council 13th. Is the 13th.
So the building is basically open the 8th or the 1st.
Yeah. 6th. The 8th. Tuesday the 6th, it's open. The building's open Tuesday the 6th. Thursday the 8th.
The 1st, the 6th,
I think
the 8th.
We decided Thursdays were going to be better, didn't we, Jody?
Well, the 8th.
And not the 2nd and 4th, well, not search and rescue.
But the 8th, so the 1st.
This is just a special meeting.
Correct. This is a one-off.
Yes,
this
I can
is
do the 6th on
yeah,
the
this is the third month that we've had.
It's just,
I know, but that will go away.
It's just the starting.
6th sounds good to me.
6th, I'm off, so I'm good. I can make January 6th.
6th works for me.
6th?
At least right now.
6 o'clock? I can put it on the calendar right now.
That'll work good for you.
I could call in probably.
What day of the week is that?
It's Tuesday. January 6th, 6 o'clock.
I will be on one day.
You're out of town. You're out of town, but mm-hmm. You can call in?
Yep.
Just write a list of all the stuff you want. It's a good Santa list.
That's how I'm starting right now, actually. The thing, and the thing is we can just... sorry, go ahead.
Tuesday, January.
No. We just finished our fraud assessment. So.
Yeah.
And it's high.
Yeah.
Let me remind you.
Do you like send out that number to everyone? If you feel like there's fraud going on, call this number 1-800.
Yeah, the mayor may be the first one using it.
Yes. You have some shady people out there.
So we'll do the 6th and then we'll.
Stick with the third Thursday.
Third Thursday as well.
Yeah, we're just about through this part of it.
Crappy part of the meeting.
Yeah.
So that would actually be the next week.
Building schedule.
Just hop in. 2 weeks.
Grab it wherever you want. No, it'll be 1 week. Because the 1st is on a Thursday. The 6th is on a Tuesday. The third Thursday will be the 15th, which will be 9 days later.
Yeah.
You want to still do the 15th then? Third Thursday? As the regular?
Yes, we don't want to adjust the regular.
Parker, do we still need to sign contracts with HMH?
We approved them in the last meeting, so that should give Brent
authority to sign them.
So.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think we're good on our end.
Yep. Jones & Mill has done a great job on this, by the way. I just want to let everybody know that the machine is working. They are watching things. They're keeping an eye on stuff. Parker's got the – and Coy. I think Coy's kind of been
Coy's
the billing guy,
the
right?
Trenches, yeah.
Coy's the guy who's really in the weeds making sure these payment requests get processed properly. So I rely on them to get that part of it done. There's no way I could do it. Be efficient about it. So they've done a great job for the district here and for the project.
Thank you. Okay, so on the 6th, we'll have everything. We'll be going over that step, what we're going to do with the extra money.
Yeah, so I'll have updated budgets for both pots of money. Basically, just kind of get all that spelled out, and then we can start building out. I'll have some of the things that we've talked about previously, I'll have some cost estimates pulled together for those already, so that it's not starting from ground zero. But if you guys have any other thoughts, you know, things we've talked about. So buying a lot or two and putting a building on it, that's kind of the main one. We talked about some equipment, backhoe or mini excavator. We've talked about connecting or running at least water line from where we end on A line back towards the Austin side.
Just in case we tell you.
If you have any other thought, well, we can run the rest of Metal Lark up and tie in front of Stakers.
Yeah, if we could have some estimates kind of
so I'll give,
like on that, those
give
two.
You better, that'd give you better really hydraulics. Good, that'd give you a better loop and better hydraulics by running that. Now, let me ask you, if you were to do that, would you do a change order and not go through the field back out, or would you do a double loop?
We would still do both.
Still do that loop and then take it all the way
and we'd have a figure eight.
Sierra Vista, yeah. I'm just curious.
Yep, we'd still do both.
Yeah, we'd do it for hydraulics, so.
Okay. Yeah, because then you could back feed both directions if you had to.
Yeah.
From either side.
Now, the only thing that would make it tough to go towards Austin is if you're ever talking about hooking up to Austin and to where for emergency purposes or anything, Austin coordinates and Brooklyn does not coordinate. So it would mess up coordination. That's the only thing about hooking Elsinore to Austin up on the highway by Rick Larson's barnyards is the same thing. That's a possibility down the line, except for Austin coordinates and Elsinore doesn't, so it would mess that up. But in an emergency purpose, you'd
still be okay.
You'd figure it out.
That would have messed it up.
If it drops your chlorine residuals, then that's when you start getting the chlorine.
You wouldn't get breakpoint and everybody smell and taste it.
As long as it stops at the river, we don't care.
If we were buying from Austin, Elsinore smell and taste it because it would be diluted. You wouldn't get breakpoint. Mm-hmm. Or if Austin was buying from Elsinore and it wasn't chlorinated, I guess the way that you'd solve that, if you ever put in a vault to where you sold back and forth, you'd put a chlorinator in the vault. And when it went in to Austin, it would chlorinate.
Right.
That would solve it on that direction, but it wouldn't really solve it coming back towards Brooklyn or towards Elsinore.
Why don't you just get that water clean up there? They don't have to.
Yeah.
We tried.
We did try.
Okay.
Not the cards.
All right. So you'll have some of those.
Yeah, so I'll get our costs and some budgets, and I'll talk to Tyler Thomas tomorrow, see if he can be available that night as well. Okay.
And then we need to finish up our agreements with the town and asset transfers and those kind of things.
Yeah, and we did visit a little bit with Elsinore Town Council last week. I don't know if we can visit about those tonight or we should wait.
I mean, if you want to just give an update, but no decisions can be made because it's not on the agenda.
So in general, I just gave the council and the mayor the update of we're proposing a wholesale rate structure, so they read the meters. They have one total gallons for the month that the district buys from them. Just to refresh everybody's memory, we talked earlier this year about two different ways of looking at it. One would be a higher dollars per gallon or per 1,000 gallons. So we'd start at $2 per 1,000 for the first 3 million gallons. So that's one option, or the other option would be we'd pay a base rate of $2,500 a month, which would include the first 1 million gallons, and then we'd pay a $1.50 per 1,000 from 1 million to 2.5, and then $2 per 1,000 from 2.5 to 4. Anyways, that's all broke out, and then on both options, when you cross the 6 million gallon threshold, it'd be $3 per 1,000, but when you cross the 6.6 million gallon threshold, so that's where the rate doubles and it goes to $6 per 1,000.
Yeah,
that's so Elsinore's sitting here thinking,
so is that on a monthly?
Per month.
It's not
annualized.
Annually.
Yeah. And the reason being is, so Elsinore Town
is penalized by the state in terms of the capacity that they have to allocate to you. And everything, if you look at it on an annual basis, then that's what, in engineering terms, that would just be the average for the whole year, right? Because you might use, well, but that penalizes them, because if you show up and you use 20 million gallons in August, then they have to maintain 20 million gallons worth of level of service for you. But if you use 6.6 million gallons in August and 3 million gallons in January, your average is 4 for the year or whatever. But so at the end of the year, at the end of the day, the average is what you guys are kind of used to looking at, but we have to look at what's called peak,
which, yeah, is, I understand.
Which is what the state's looking at on the Elsinore side. So that's why, and the Elsinore stuff, they actually, the state actually looks at them on a, on their peak day. So in theory, if everybody in Brooklyn used a ton of water on one day, that could actually hurt Elsinore too. So that's, we're trying to balance it, and you know, we can't have it dialed down so much, like, so you're like, we don't want it set up so you have to pay every day, right? Like, that'd be crazy and intense. And but a per month basis is pretty common. That's how they deal with all their other customers. It does require you as a district to make sure that you're not overusing water. We've got a little buffer in there. The 6.6 million gallons is based off of a peak day. So we've taken your average, and then we've put a factor, a 1.5 factor on that to get to the 6.6 million. So that's to protect you guys and help you have enough water to manage yourselves how you've always managed. But on the flip side, it needs to get painful if you get above that 6.6 million in a month, because that's where Elsinore is drawing the line in the sand on the infrastructure, tanks, wells, you know, allowing that much water to go. So,
and that's based on their capacity.
Correct. Yep.
Both our capacity and our storage, right?
Yes.
What about using some of this extra money for a tank or something like we talked about last time to benefit the water system as well?
Could you do that? I mean,
I don't think we can show the need for it right now to make it a legitimate expense is my biggest fear with that, because Elsinore, they don't need the storage today. They need it in 30 years from now, and they don't need it down here for you guys. They need it on the north end of town for the cemetery. So
good question.
I think that's, it could be a tough sell, but
what about water shares? Is everyone in the same boat there?
Water shares are always a value, so if we think we might be able to buy some water somewhere, we should probably try to.
I've talked to a few people, they're not cheap, but they're available.
Is that something that CIB will let you do?
That's what I wonder, if we can use that extra money for shares.
Or drill a well. Yeah, I've seen it happen elsewhere. I don't know for sure if they would do it in this case. Drilling a well is fine if we have shares. If we don't have shares,
right.
But I think that the main problem is the storage. I mean, it's not like we don't have the wells, the capacity of the wells that we have to pump that water. It's where to put it, you know, in storage, right, Scott?
Well, it's both. We have limited capacity of pumping. We would have to do some upgrades to our wells if we wanted to. And we can pump about 1,200 gallons a minute.
And maybe that's something we look at is, you know, could we help replace one of the pumps and give your well and upsize the pump?
Yeah, because wasn't in our study that you just did, didn't it show that if we changed a few of the pumps out, that we would be...
Yeah, so that could be something we look at. It's about $100,000, $150,000, depending on what we do on pumps and what they look at.
We own the water. We own a fair amount of water right now. But our capacity is still only 1,200 gallons a minute. Our tanks are...
That's each or just the one?
That's all. Yeah. Everything together. It's everything together. So, yeah, it could be something that we could upgrade a well and put a bigger motor on it and be able to pull more water out quicker.
Mm-hmm. I think if we were to do that, we would have to figure out like how does that
one, help Elsinore Town and also help
who would own that? I mean,
what are we getting out of
Brooklyn? We want to be careful about
blending that well if that were to happen.
That's what I mean. We want to be careful about blending.
Commingling.
That would be a little.
I was actually wondering if it would be feasible to put our own well in. If we had the rights, we would have to sort that piece out. But
you will, because every time you sell a hookup, you'll get water rights, and eventually you'll have a chunk of water rights.
So we can tie into the system.
Better go to the meeting on January.
I wouldn't just ask, but they say no.
With the canal company, we're going to talk about that.
But that's complicating everything, though. I mean, I think you're better off trying to buy yourself some equipment and some land. Commingling assets with Elsinore, I think it's complicated.
It's dangerous.
It's complicated.
Okay, but Parker has told us with this study that we just finished with that, I mean, we're good including you. It includes what we're selling and future selling. Our plan is good for 30 years, you know. Yes. So unless you...
Maybe not rush into the water and well right now.
Unless you invite everybody that lives
which we don't want, I personally do not
to come
want
and move in out there, you know.
No, I'm just trying to figure out how to get away from... If we use 7 million gallons, that's not good for us.
Yeah.
And it's really good for you. And so I'm trying to think about, is there a way that
we supplement
if we're going to approach, if we start approaching 6 million gallons, then we can start pumping our own well and feeding water, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff I'm thinking.
That's good thinking.
You could pump directly into the
line.
Mm-hmm. You'd maybe want to have a backflow.
Yeah,
there would be definitely with all that stuff. But
into our system, but that well.
It brings up the bigger question, and I think the county and the health department are going to have to step into this. There are so many people. I mean, they're talking subdivisions of 30 and 50.
Where?
Out in our area that people want to do.
I mean, the fact of the matter is you can't serve something like that, right?
But
Well, they'd be outside the district boundary right now, correct?
Most likely, because we were pretty...
We kept it tight.
That's been my concern about this whole thing.
So Steve Otter,
south side of Joe County, left out of the boundary, right?
I don't remember if Steve was included or not.
Right now you have a protection of the boundary. You just tell people you're outside the district.
See what the situation is we can't buy water to have for underground if they can't. You see what I'm saying? And so then they start wanting to do wells for 30 or 50 lots.
That's a public system.
Yeah, I was going to say they've drifted into half time.
Well, so it's got to come under the county. I think when they said they're 5-acre lots, that made it, you know, that kept it separate.
Yeah.
But since the health department said you can do it smaller.
Then, as long as it takes care of the septic piece.
Yeah, but if you get 50 of them out there in that gravel, that's going to then contaminate the source that we want to eventually do it well.
Yeah.
Yeah, big issues.
It's going to, because even like my septic system, it's going to travel fast.
So how do we keep that from happening? How does the county step in and protect everybody out there from all these subdivisions that want to go in? And because if they're 5-acre lots, they're probably expecting every one of them to drill their own well on those.
At this point, they aren't 5-acre lots.
Oh.
Yeah, that got changed.
You can get it down to an acre and a half, 2 acres.
As long as you have the frontage, and enough safety circle for your septic.
Yeah.
Which is now about an acre and a half.
Yeah,
but don't you have to prove that you have water before you do that? Well, yes. How big a piece of property do you have to drill a well?
Is it 100 feet from your septic to your well?
It depends on the actual ground you're in.
Well, if it's out there, it travels pretty fast.
Yeah, it's super
complicated. I need to visit with you more on this.
And I am concerned about it.
Well, we have a meeting in January with Brooklyn Canal Company, and it's going to be a topic there.
I may sit down.
And there's people that want to do that. We want.
There's a moratorium on that right now.
Yeah, but that moratorium also affects us, so that we can't buy any water.
I know. I'm aware of that.
A moratorium by the canal company.
You cannot trade a above ground.
Can't.
Water. That's a state issue, isn't it?
No.
Okay. Prior to just a couple of years ago, that was happening with Brooklyn.
We're gonna. I think we can conclude the meeting because this is kind of off
anything
topic.
Anything else with the cap between us and the city? Just let them.